Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Combate Americas presents...
Both men are going toe-to-toe! This is what everyone came to see here with Combate Americas!
What's the best fighter you have ever seen? What's the future of the MMA?
Palacios, but Palacios throwing that right hand over the top, but he answers with a knee of his own.
Welcome to En La Jaula con Alberto El Patron, when we will talk, answer those questions and many more with special guests and celebrities. The new Mixed Martial Arts Podcast for Latinos.
The way this fight's going, someone's going out in the first round.
I'm Alberto del Rio, El Patron. Are you ready for much more action?
This is just, can they keep up this pace?
En La Jaula con Alberto El Patron.
And you can find us in iTunes and your regular podcast service.
Trippin' fan, we're back. Hey guys, what's up? It's Allie here. Did you miss us? Better yet, we missed you. We are so excited to announce our rebrand, Road Trippin' Richard versus Channing. That's right, two of your favorites who are no longer hooping together found a way to remain connected, yet competitive. Are you surprised? You shouldn't be, because we are so excited to be back in the saddle. You'll be hearing plenty from both sides, Cleveland and Denver, as our guys go up against one another on various topics, but also allow our original motto to live on. That's the point. No one tells our stories better than us, right? We've had a vision, let's just put it out there, since Road Trippin' began, and so we are thrilled for it to keep growing. Speaking of growing, we've done just that in more ways than one. Check this out. Launched as we speak is Road Trippin' NBA, and our first crew to join us jumping on board is the trio from Atlanta. Kent Bazemore, Mike Muscala, and Annie Finberg give you the scoop from the ATL with their own little twist. So right now, you can find them on Twitter and Instagram at Road Trippin' NBA. Their trailer also out on iTunes right now. Go subscribe Road Trippin' NBA to hear what's to come. Their first episode launches in just days. But for now, shall we cheers to our new beginning, to our first episode of Road Trippin' Richard versus Channing? I think we shall.
Cheers. Cheers.
Glad to have you guys.
First Cheers.
Hey, you got the bottle, man.
Cheers to an exciting episode. Technically 54, but it is the first episode of our new rebrand, Road Tripping Richard versus Channing. You know what that's all about. We just talked about it. And so to get things started, we have very special guests. And we're going to kind of let them intro themselves, because for Clevelanders, you listen to the Cavs all season long. You know exactly who these guys are. To my right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. How do people know okay. you?
Well, you know, I try not to. I don't want to say this on TV, but since you say I can say it now.
You can say it now.
Get that shit out of here.
And to my left is, of course, I'm rolling with Team Channing. Rafa's on the ones and twos. And so to Channing's left is... If you listen to the Cavaliers.
Oh, if you listen on radio, and we don't expect you to sit there for the whole 48 minutes, that's why I repeat stuff. And my wife says, why do you keep repeating the same stuff every 5-8 minutes? I said, we're on radio, babe. Nobody's going to sit in front of a radio or drive for 48 to an hour and a half to listen to the game.
No.
And my thing has always been better to give up two than three.
Yep.
And that's where we are as a team right now, right, Channing? Right.
Yep. Okay, let's segue right into it.
Well, both legends, obviously, of course. We're glad to have you guys. Mr. Cavalier, Austin Carr, for those of you who are in Ohio, you know who that is. But to our 4.7 million listeners, shout out right there.
Yeah.
Austin Carr is here, and Jim Jones, two Cavalier legends.
Channing. NBA legends.
Cavalier, NBA, right. You're right.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We suck right now. But I think, you know, when you add seven new people to a team, seven very qualified
all-stars.
People to the
right.
team, all-stars,
you're right.
is not going to be pretty at the beginning. And I think, you know, I say this to my wife, like, what's going on? I'm like, babe, like, it's just not going to just jump in together. They come from a different style. We come from a different style. They play defense a certain way. We play defense a certain way. So now it's not like, yo, get back, do this, mother F this, blah, blah, blah. You notice we're having to, like, think, how does he like to be talked to? What does he like?
Yes.
What gets him going? So that thinking process, right, is different because we're playing a lot of young teams and everyone's like, oh, you're losing to this team, you're losing to that team. But those teams are like – those guys are 20 and 21, and they're playing free and willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, and their coach says, listen, you do this every time, you do this every time, you do this every time. And for that coach, he's dictating how they play
right.
within that system.
Right.
Now, that works now during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But during the playoffs, we see it's a whole nother story. Anyways, right now, it's like Jay Crowder, oh, you can play defense, and you can shoot threes, and you can go to the hole. So when is it your time to do all those things? LeBron, when are you LeBron? When are you passing LeBron? When are you scoring LeBron? Hey, D-Wade, you're used to doing this. You're a Hall of Famer. Now try this. Right, try this for the first time in how many years he's been in the league?
Right.
15 years? Yeah. Or it's like, hey, Kevin, you've never done this except for 1 year on a so-so team. Do this now on arguably one of the best teams in the league
right.
and do it at a high level. So, like, it's – we're getting – I wouldn't say the word frustrated, but we are getting agitated, which is good, in my opinion,
right.
that we're going through this struggle. And I think each year there's a narrative, right? And if everything was smooth and sailing, this wouldn't be the Cavaliers. Okay,
right.
It's just not how we do things.
That's exactly right.
Don't do things that way. Now, you've been on teams where at first people are kind of like, you know, tiptoeing before they go into the hopscotch rope, you know
right.
what I'm saying, to the double dutch rope, you know what I'm saying? You got to get your feet right. But the minute we get our feet right, mark my words, we're going to go 20-1, 19-2, you know, 18-3.
It's going to click.
It's going to click.
Right.
And it's going to be very dangerous for a lot of people
right.
out there. So, you know, right now, you know, you got a 50-50 chance. Because right now, you know, coach, you know, Tristan went down, which sucks. And then so now guys have to go different. Is coach going to go small? Is he going to go big? And he has options. But sometimes having too many options. Have you ever seen a menu at Cheesecake Factory?
Oh, too many options.
Too many. But it's like once you go there, right, and once you figure it out and try it out a couple times, you're like, dude, get the miso salmon,
that's right.
right, with the brown bread. Keep the white bread to yourself.
Hey, Coach Lou likes Cheesecake Factory. I've seen him
before. I love Cheesecake Factory.
Me
dude,
too.
I literally, the on-the-go yes. cheesecake, shout out Cheesecake.
Yes.
Let's get some free cards at Cheesecake.
Vegan, babe.
Okay, well, they got snap peas for you.
They got snap peas.
Yeah.
They got a great kale salad, too.
We can get you hooked up with the snap peas, dog.
So, okay, obviously Channing has given you guys kind of the feel from inside the locker room, but as former players,
right?
NBA champions, mm-hmm. successful players in the league. From your time to now, what is it that you guys see as you're calling the game right now?
Well, what I see is I see a team with a lot of talent.
Yeah.
That has yet to play like they have talent.
Yeah.
And I agree with Channing. It's just they're not a team yet.
No.
You know, because communication,
right.
terminology, conditioning is something that'll catch up.
Yeah.
But the thing I think that we got off track, we thought we could win through scoring. Teams don't come together on offense. They come together on defense.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and so once we start playing more defense, and I thought last game, I thought you guys played hard.
Yes.
Both ends.
Yes, yes.
That was a difference, didn't you think?
Huge. But we were building on that. But by the time our defense clicked, and the thing about conditioning with me, and I played on the Suns, like,
right.
not 7 seconds or less, maybe 8 or 9, right?
Yeah.
Different team.
Yeah.
But for us, we were conditioned to do what we practice every single day.
Yeah.
And so when you – I know this guy's going to run. I know Grant Hill, if you watch his film, always runs up the left lane and cuts across to the right. So I stay on the right side because Steve likes to pass with his left hand.
Right.
And I can make the swing pass to Jay Rich or Jared Dudley in the corner. I know that every time. And Amari likes to roll a certain way to catch so he can finish with his right hand. Mm-hmm. So I know that. I knew that. And so for me, I knew I just had to sprint to there. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's sprinting. If you watch us, we sprint and then two dudes – yeah, everyone's like, wait, are you moving?
Because look at each other like.
Right, because you think about it, like last year we didn't have slashers per se.
Right.
Now we have three or four.
Right.
So now it's like, wait, who's going to the hoop? Oh, D-Rose? Wait, where's LeBron going? Oh, wait, where's Jeff Green going? Oh, wait, where's Jay going? So, like, this really awkward baby goo goo gaga moment is – something that you have to overcome through hard work.
That's right.
And I think that we're trying to overcome our miscommunications. You see how many turnovers we have of somebody just throwing a ball, assuming somebody's going to be right there.
Right.
Right? And that's, you know, and that's going to happen. And now the other teams where they practice for 3 or 4 hours and about the same thing, run this play, boom, dribble handoff, give it to you, do this, wears us down because now we don't know, okay, does he know I'm going to switch with him? What's our scouting report? What would my old team do? And what would like is not like what would my old team do? And these are not bad teams.
Right.
These are like Boston Celtics. Like we're in the Eastern Conference Finals. So two of the best defenders on our team are like, I do things this way. You do things that way. How can we do it the winning way? Right. The right way.
Because when I see, look at it now, and like I try to tell a lot of people, when you go at practice, you can do everything in practice.
Oh, yeah.
But when the lights come on for real – you go back, you revert back to what you are used to.
Yeah.
And everybody's coming from so many different places, and the play calls are, it might be the same play, but they call it different and they run it different.
Yeah. You so know, in that so second, that, because
right in that second,
everything is timing.
Right. And that just kind of throws it off, but it's going to come, especially on defense, because like Jim said. I remember when we started our run.
Yeah.
It was defensive end that we came on. We got to the point where if you came through that lane, but it was, the rules were a little different then.
Just a little bit different? Y'all were up there like you.
Can we talk about that?
Y'all were up there karate kicking fools.
take
the ball out.
They got away with it, yeah.
Right. It's crazy.
I remember one game when Nate Thurman had just come to us.
Oh.
And the big fella says, let him come on in here, AC. You just make sure my man don't get the rebound. So he goes in there. Shanier went in there, and Nate knocked him somewhere around the court. So then the next time down the floor, I said, you going in there if you want to? You can go on in there.
Yeah. I watched a lot of games with my dad. And so I want to know from your perspective, who was the one guy – that you were like that didn't get enough credit for how he scored? Because I have an idea of who I've heard before, but there's somebody that was just like an animal scoring that never got the credit that he did.
Bobby Dandridge.
Yes.
Oh, it's buckets.
Pick was something else, boy.
I seen Bobby Dandridge tighten up Julius Erving to the point where Julius didn't make a move.
No.
Shout out Dr. J. He was on here. Yeah. He's been on here. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he never mentioned Bobby Dandridge, did he?
I don't think that name came up.
Bobby Dandridge, if you go on Google and you go on the old films and videos and you watch Bobby Dandridge play against Dr. J, you'll say, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
He could score on him and he could defend him and he could frustrate him. And that was something I never thought Julius would do.
He wasn't he was just fundamentally
just smooth.
Yes.
Just smooth.
Wasn't athletic. Wasn't athletic.
Alex English type score.
Yes. Yeah, okay, that that's the
whisper his name. Whisper his name.
Yes.
Yeah, listen.
Whisper his name.
No one can block his shot.
No, who everybody I asked is Alex English. They said he was, whatever he was averaging, you could just put that down in the scoring table.
Yes.
And anything around that, you're like, hey, good job.
And don't make it mad.
And
he couldn't run, but he would tiptoe up and down the floor.
Right.
And he would shoot early
in
the
clock. What I like about him, he always had shots that you just – it was like automatic from certain parts of the floor.
Yes.
It was going in.
Yeah.
It was automatic. It was automatic.
Yeah.
He was special.
For our young listeners then, who would those two guys in particular remind our young listeners up in today's game?
Ooh.
Is that even possible?
That's tough.
I'm trying to think of
somebody
someone
who can't block his shot.
Yeah,
you could, right.
You could, that's rare.
That's tough because the guys you can't block their shot are Kevin Durant and Dirk, and those two guys are my height.
Yes,
and they just say they're 7 foot. I'm legit
that's
7 foot.
Right,
I've been trying to say I've been 6'11".
No, no, you know you're taller than me.
I'm taller than everybody on the team.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Right, and it's just like. Those two guys are naturally – you can't block their shot. But it was like
– Well, it's tough to block your shot, too, because I see a lot of guys, they come running at you.
No, no, no.
I've never seen anybody block his shot.
Hey,
Two people. Because you change your release.
Yes.
Right.
You see him coming.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's
it depends on where that hand is.
Right, because that's a shooter.
They come running at you like they got you, and then all of a sudden they go
– You let it go sooner. But it's the same stroke, though.
Yeah, same stroke.
It's the same stroke.
Yeah, you're a shooter.
You just do it different.
You know what? There's so when I was learning, like, really how to, like, embrace a shooting thing – Phoenix, they said there's three types of shooters. There's like guys who shoot because they want to drive.
Okay.
And then they said there's like there's your jazz players where they can make good music, which means they can make a lot of shots, but it's not always going to look the same.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So like Steph can do all that boom, 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 and then shoot it. You know, but it might fundamentally be the same, but his release might be might be there.
That's right.
And that's kind of how
and
I
he's
shoot.
Great
but then
with that.
You have your classical. 1 + 1 = 2, which is your Kyle Korver, which is your Isaiah Thomas, which is your, shockingly, J.R. Smith. Because no matter what he does, his shot is exactly the same.
Right.
You know, it's not like he, you know, he can't jump and then fling.
Elvin Hayes was like that.
Yeah.
Had the same shot.
Why did you bring up Elvin? Why did you bring up Elvin?
I'm sorry, Jim.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Jim.
He was giving you buckets
because,
back
because,
in the day?
Hey, well, I was getting
you ready. Ain't got to play like that. I said, yes, I do, Elvin, because I can't block your shot, but you're stronger than me, and I can't keep you off the block.
Oh, that's too much.
That's
you
too
guys, come about on Shaq.
Now. Think about Shaq.
Did,
same thing.
Did either of the two of you ever get ejected in a game?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
You didn't?
He led the league in technical.
Jim was.
Oh, get out.
I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
Oh, see.
It's because of that?
Because I had no edge. Right. I wasn't big enough.
Oh, right,
and I wasn't
right.
strong enough. I had the heart, and I was fearless, but I never was. And for 28 minutes to 30 minutes, I could play with anybody. But after that, I wasn't strong enough.
Yeah,
sleepy. Like early in your career.
Yeah, yeah,
Fitch
yeah.
You know, when you were, I mean, now you got a great body. But
thank
you. Were younger,
you know what? Listen, I'm trying to cut the carbs.
Yeah, you know, but when you're younger, you can't keep those guys off that block.
No.
I never told Jim
that's whipping every night.
But Fitch would tell me, go get him. Go get him. Go get him. Because once he would get going, he would just lose it.
Wait, so you had to calm him down?
I tried to, but
would you compare him to like.
I tried to.
Whereas teammates love him, but the opposing team hates him.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So you would, but he's very emotionally like invested in every player.
Right.
Like DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh,
that's right.
Yeah.
Great. Ooh. Great analogy.
Yes. Great analogy.
Right? Yep. But now he's starting to calm down, and now he's very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we saw that, but like,
I mean,
I didn't know he could pass like that personally.
Me either. I didn't really know it.
But I think, you know, Alvin's a great coach and gave him the freedom to say, hey, listen, I'm going to give you the ball.
Right.
It's up to you if we win or not. So now it's even more dangerous.
And that's so important that the coach understands your game and lets you play your game.
Right.
And because that's what DeMarcus had problems with. Coaches wouldn't let him play his game.
No. Yeah. Trying to put him in a system, but you need to run your system around
him. They didn't want him to handle
him.
The ball. Out of, but think about when you were coming up.
Oh, man. What?
Now,
that's a whole nother. Now, listen.
Let me
your
ask you a question. Let me ask you a
mine
question.
Growing up
let
was way you, different.
But let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many brothers do you know your height that could shoot threes like layups when you served when you first started?
When I was in 2005, nobody.
Nobody.
I remember those playoffs.
Even Dirk.
Nobody.
But even Dirk only shot pull-up threes.
Oh, he sure did.
That's
He ran the L play where he had the one guard, or so he had the one man at the free throw line, so he could either go to get the big guy
or
if he could
back.
Face up, or he can go to the top. He was the only guy.
Wow.
And then maybe.
I'm trying to think. There aren't many.
There wasn't any. Everything was like, it was at the end of the ISO era.
Right.
So everything was like, give it to somebody at the elbow or the block, and that's when Melo was given. Buckets. He was a problem.
Yes, he was. Yes,
what?
He was.
Or like they like I remember Detroit the year they won it. They were running floppy action for Rip Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us 52 floppy action, which is like one guy runs around and around and around, and then everyone else sets screens for him. He had 52 on 1 3-pointer against us. It wasn't even tired. Didn't bet or not.
Right.
It was the most amazing thing. But they just knew how to operate. When you have Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace, somebody who's a lob threat, and then Rasheed Wallace to me was one of the better players I've ever played against in my career.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Smart and tough. Oh, yeah. Couldn't block a shot.
Right.
He had longer arms than anybody.
He knew how to play the game. Oh. He was great. He was great.
Oh, he's the best. So who was your guys that's like, listen, I love playing against this guy. He's tough. He's a tough SOB.
Well, I'm going to tell you who I hated.
Yeah.
Is Pete Maravich.
Oh.
I hated that. Because I'm telling you, if you reach, he would teach every time.
Every time.
And it always – I'd have his ass right where I want him, boy, and he'd go, whoop, and I'm going, damn.
Just the handles is nice.
Oh, handles are great.
People
and it would shoot it from anywhere.
Just freedom.
Yeah, just freedom. Just shoot it from anywhere. And his game was just so – I mean, one time he came out on a break, man, I'll never forget this. He was going to the right side of the hoop, and he lost the ball, and he hit it with his head and – banked it in the
No.
I'm telling you, he lost control of it, and I'm sitting there going, I just looked over, what am I supposed to do?
Those are one of those moments where it's like, chalk it up. Yes. Congratulations.
You definitely chalk that one up.
Back.
You're like, listen. Tell you, he used to kill me, and we were best friends.
Who?
Now, how do you feel when your best friend kicks your butt? We're at the airport coming in Cleveland.
Oh, and y'all had to ride commercial.
Oh, yes. Oh, and like this.
No.
And like you had to catch the first flight out of town.
Six
or 7 o'clock in the morning, you had to be on the flight.
No.
Cheating, how does this make you feel?
Me?
Yeah.
I had to do it in college.
And
so
you
would
have been in trouble because you too tall. Those seats, you'd have been like this. Jim used to be sitting there.
Seat all in the aisle, people stepping on my ankles.
So in college, we had to do that, right? So obviously, we're college kids. We would go out, and then we had the youngest guy who couldn't go out make sure we gave every – you know, you get two sets of keys because you have a roommate.
Right.
So we go out. Yo, wake us up at this time. When you get up, we get up. Boom, boom, boom. Make sure everybody get up, and then if we're late, you're late, and then we all got to run. So let's go. People used to be at the airport, sleep. We would pray for delays. Pray for delays.
Hey, road tripping fans. Ever heard of MeUndies? If not, take a listen. MeUndies makes feel-good undies your butt will be proud to wear. They will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will ever own. And to check it out yourself, I encourage you to go to MeUndies.com/road. Why? Well, with tons of styles and patterns to choose from for both men and ladies, MeUndies will have the perfect fit for any personality. The MeUndies feeling is unmatched because they are naturally a soft fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. And so for a limited time only, I urge you to check out MeUndies' first ever glow-in-the-dark print, Lights Out. Why not update your underwear drawer and glow at the same time? And hey, if underwear isn't your thing, I get it, I understand, but MeUndies, they also make the softest socks in the world. Didn't you know? To get 20% off the best and softest underwear and socks you'll ever own, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/road. That's MeUndies.com/road. I want to get back to this college thing because we've got three incredible universities right here between the three of you. But first, who was the guy that you...
Oh, Bob McAdoo.
Oh.
We vacationed together.
And he would barbecue you.
Kill me.
Oh.
The greatest shooter
and talk
I've
to
ever
you.
Seen. He's the greatest pure shooter.
That's right. That's
I've
right.
ever seen.
Wow.
Mac was tough.
Still, in this day and age.
Yeah.
Still, he can still shoot it now.
He would call me, Jim, y'all playing the Celtics? I said, yeah. Jim, you can kill Collins. You're bigger than him. You got a jump shot. All you got to do is shoot it in his face.
You're like, yeah.
And I
don't
said,
have
Mac,
and he's
a different team. If I get 12 shots, 8 of them because I got them off the offensive board.
Oh, right, right, right.
You know,
those
I
days are over now. Those days are over now.
Tell me about it.
Listen, those days, the game is so different now.
Hey, you can go to the boards and like you want
what?
To.
What? 100%.
Transition defense.
Dude, we were talking about
4-5?
Listen, we were talking about it. So do you remember the 5 seconds? What was it, 7 seconds or less? Suns?
Yes.
Do you know what they would rank in pace in today's game?
Oh, what?
24th.
Oh,
wow.
Are you serious?
24th.
And we thought that was fast.
And we thought that was fast.
We thought that. And we practiced, like, because that was kind of the same system that I ran in for 5 years. Wow. We would run every day in practice. So the issue is this. Number one, nobody goes for offensive rebounds anymore, except for maybe one or two teams.
Right.
Yeah.
But
Tristan, yeah. One or two team ones.
Yeah.
Right.
The Spurs started that because they said, what are we going to do? We got one guy down there. He's already down there.
Right.
Everyone else get back. We want to set our defense.
Right.
And then two, there's not any more ploppy, what I call like aircraft carrier big men.
Yes.
Your Brooke Lopez, Robin Lopez, Dwight Howards, your Shaqs, your Yaos.
They've been phased away.
They've been phased away because at the end of the day, now it's like, wait a second. I could put Dirk versus Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to give me twos. Or I can make pass. I could bet on somebody who's a defender back in the day because, listen, back in the day, at my first year, it was like, look, you're a post guy, you post. You're a forward.
Yeah, that's how it was. That's right.
Yeah, everybody has a specific position.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, teams started tinkering. Everybody is positionless. If you look at, like, the teams we've lost to,
that's right.
Who has the ball the most of the time? The big guy.
Yes.
He, because now he becomes the threat. Dribble hands off. Now, guess what? You got to go over top of these shooters, mm-hmm. right? And these guards who aren't guards anymore.
Right.
There's no such thing as a Chris Paul anymore. There's no such thing as a, you know, Steve Nash anymore because that's too easy. That's a steady diet or something. And you everybody know, has these plays now.
You know, we've been talking about this season in particular is that you only have to coach three positions now.
Mm-hmm.
Ball handlers, wings, and bigs.
And that's it.
And if your big can't cut, and he can't set screens like Sabonis. I love him.
Oh, man. Oh. So, but listen.
And then
you know
out.
Why I love him? I think he's a steal, number one.
Yes. Oh, big time steal.
The guy's going to be all big pro for the
when I look
years
at when I look at young guys, right, I look at their pace, like their own individual, like mind pace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Certain people just have it because they understand the game. Like most people, when they watch the game, they don't see like a dribble handoff. The fact that he can snatch it back, fake that dribble handoff, throw it, read the defense, slip, get somebody else open, and then be in the same position to offensive rebound on the same play, like it was just like he had worked on it. Most guys are like, okay, what's he doing? Boom. No, not this. Boom, this. The rebound's gone. Okay. He has a natural ability to do everything, and he chooses to do what's best for his team because he could have shot a lot of threes last night, which he's been shooting a lot.
Right, he had been.
He didn't
because
he said, you know what, this is what's best for us.
Right.
Dribble handoff, now I'm getting that. And then at the end of the game, what happened? He caught that, and then he kept shooting. He missed the first one.
Right.
I told Jetty that was too easy.
That's right.
Right? We didn't get – you know, obviously we didn't do something right on defense.
Right. That's right.
So the next time – he caught it, took a step forward, and shot the floater.
Right.
He didn't stand in it because most guys are stubborn, like, okay, I'm going to shoot the same shot.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
He's like, nah, we need this. I'm going to my bucket. But I like his game.
And now you got your wings. Now let's go back to wings.
Right.
Your wings have to be able to start the offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Create the offense. Do everything that's necessary that guards used to do.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yes, so you would rely on one, maybe two guys. If a guard was a guard, he had to get that ball, and if he got double-teamed, it was thrown at somebody, and they were giving it right back to him.
Right.
This day and age is completely different, and I think the first team that I saw do that was the old Golden State team.
I agree.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because long time ago.
Remember with Chris Mullin?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Tim old Hardaway.
Right.
Yep. What was the third guy?
This is going to – I'm going to get killed for this.
6'2".
God,
6'3".
Scored a mess out of the ball.
Come on now.
TMC.
TMC.
Yeah,
Tim Hardaway, Mitch Richmond.
Mitch Richmond.
Oh, Chris Mullin. There it is.
Mitch Richmond.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yes.
But now it was like, wait, where's the mismatch? You know, everything now is like mismatch. We got shooters. We got passers. If you can't do three or four things out there on the court, you're done.
That's why they say
to be able to pass, dribble, and shoot.
That's right.
You're right.
Okay, now go back to the ball handlers.
Yeah.
High dribble screen. Get the rebound. Push it up the floor.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Green has been doing for us.
Yes.
Right. You can dribble. How come you don't dribble more?
That's too much. That's too tiring. But put it this way.
Because you're a threat once you get across half court.
Well, yeah, sort of. But I don't really play. I keep my game real simple. I think this year I've been working on it a lot, especially during the summer. Last year was probably the last year that you're going to see me just really standing around. Good. It's just not. It's just not where I could do other stuff, but it just wasn't what's best for us. But now – for me to be successful in this league,
cut screens.
I've been cutting, screening, holding it on the post,
right? Yeah, listen, you're doing a lot more
it's
of that.
It's so much because now with guys like Kyle, D. Wade, Jeff, Jay, I don't mind. Like, you know me, I don't care if I don't score. Like, I'm like, listen,
let's win this
I can
game.
Shoot this Jay, every time. But guess what? If you got to run around those seven screens over there, one of these suckers is going to get open.
Right.
And then I get a short roll to a layup. That's the things that's like, that I was looking at, like, here's a dead ass answer. I'm looking at, not now, if we can make it to the finals again, how can I play?
Yes.
You're right.
This is
right.
how I'm going to play. It's not standing, it's shooting.
You saw the formula.
I saw the formula.
And I see your body language with that second unit. It's like, oh, Lord, let me get in here with these guys.
Right.
Because Wade can make plays.
He can make plays. So, but you need floor spacing.
Yes.
And so everyone's trying to figure that out. If you put D-Wade on the block, we all know he's going to shoot that right shoulder turn away. You ain't blocking it.
You ain't blocking it.
Right. It's the best shot he shoots.
Right.
You ain't blocked it for 15 years. You ain't blocking it now.
Right.
But imagine now Kyle has a shorter run. Mm-hmm. If D-Wade catches it and that guy jumps out, now he has a layup.
He's found him, yeah.
Yes, so now he has a literally one step before he makes a layup. So these are things that we're going to develop and learn. And as soon as the first unit, I think you saw last night, Kevin had the ball in the post. Split action.
Yes.
Throw it to Bron. Easy J.
Easy J.
And I think that's where the league is going.
You know, you mentioned
we used to throw it in the post. Find not the worst shooter, but like find the guy who's not the best shooter.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, everybody else running around like chickens.
You know, you had mentioned at the beginning about have more slashes now, and it was a play last night that when I saw it, I was like, oh man, it made me salivate because I moved out the ball.
Yeah,
that was my game.
Yeah.
But Rose was in the corner.
Yeah.
And J.R. was going passing the ball. He ended up throwing the ball out of bounds because Rose cut to the basket.
Yes.
I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
When they get used to each other, this is going to
be
heaven.
But
because it happened again.
D-Rose needs to be – they need to put J.R. in the corner and D-Rose at the slot spot.
Yes.
So he can see because Bron went to go shoot and threw it. And D-Rose is like, well, I'm more comfortable. He saw the opportunity to go slash, but he has to slash from a different position. We talked about that.
Right.
And so they're going to probably switch. And so that way, JR's guy is going to stay out. If Bron's guy helps, D-Wade is so explosive. Like, it's amazing, like, what he's doing.
Oh,
and I think once he gets his feet underneath him, then it's going to be even better. Oh, yeah.
Well, then let me ask you another question. Playing with Bron is different than playing without Bron.
Yes.
You have to not necessarily do more, but you have to do different things. Tell us about what that's about.
So when you play with Bron, you are like, how can I keep my man as far away from him as possible?
Okay.
Right? So for me, I'm like, how can I get Kyle open? Okay? For me, when I'm out there, I feel like most of the time when I'm out there, coach puts me in a situation where I'm against bigger guys. So they're not going to take that switch with Kyle.
Right.
Him and I have a good relationship where it's like switching, screening.
I know.
You know, because when he got here, I was like, listen, these are easy buckets.
Right.
You are hard as shit to guard in the first place. So teach me what you know so that you know, I could do it with everybody. And I think you're going to see JR starting to get a lot of these looks because now he's starting to get conditioned to not standing because we need JR to be more active. Because people don't know he's very solid off a screen and roll and wants to make unselfish passes. Now we need him to be
and that's the change in our style now.
Yeah.
We used to stand and wait.
Yeah.
Now it's not that anymore. Now we got people that are cutting, moving and stuff. So
it's
now it's like, to me, it's going to cause so much problems for
everybody.
For everybody because you're not going to be able – if you turn your head, that's it.
Yeah.
And that is where the problems – because if you look at Golden State, that's how they function.
Yes.
Everybody's
a threat.
Everybody's a threat because they make a pass. They'll start a play and just throw the ball like this because it just goes over here and then this guy takes it and the other guy cuts him. And that to me is where – what we have now. We have that kind of personnel.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
We said
the process of bringing it all together.
Right.
Channing and Allie, because I know you guys play this too. When I was doing college games for Espen, all these colleges were doing motion.
Yes.
And out of motion.
We're in motion.
Remember the term read and react?
Yeah.
Right.
That's all we're running now.
Well, look who's who's coaching.
College coaches, coaching our league.
That's right.
And look who's in the NBA. Yeah. College players.
Right.
These fools should still
be
in college.
That. That's why they have
They got 1 year, and then they came. But now it's like a way to develop a guy within your system as a coach.
So
if you notice, how many coaches got fired last year?
Zero. None, from the NBA?
Zero.
Did you hear about that?
That was the first time.
I know
it was
about
the first time since like 60-something.
Why, though? Why? There's a reason.
Young kids.
Hey, you have young kids.
Yeah.
And guess what? Do I like your system? Let me give you 4 years on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
Now, you look at a guy like Brad Stevens.
Right.
You look at a guy like Thibs. Right? Everyone's like, dang, I like that system.
That's right.
Right? 1 year on that system, and then who comes there? Vets.
Yes.
Because vets go, I like that system. I could be successful in that system. I don't have to play one-on-one every single possession.
Right.
I could screen cut, get an easy layup. Screen cut,
play
back
the
screen,
game.
Catch, play the
play
game.
The
so
game.
That's where this is evolving to. You look at a guy like Jimmy Butler, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Right? Oh. He's going to give it it all on defense, understandable. But on offense, he needs a system. He's not a guy to just throw it to. He ain't like that.
Those
he ain't
days
Russell
are about
Westbrook.
Over, too.
Yeah. There's three guys, and they're all on the same team.
Right.
Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
Those guys, you could throw it to them for 48 minutes, and they going to give you buckets. So you got to go double-team one of them. And then all of a sudden, they're on the same team.
Right.
But here's what everybody wants to know. What was college like?
Thank you. Can we stop talking about basketball?
I mean,
sorry.
There's a couple good stories because for our listeners
college,
who
like girls of college,
no, for our college experience.
For our listeners who may not know,
the
I know AC. That's
experience?
hard to believe that people don't know you, but we do have listeners from all across
clean,
the world.
Now. Keep it
no,
clean.
No, we don't keep it clean.
We went to U of A. Look,
now do you mean on the court, off the court?
Off the court.
And then I'll ask you.
Well, off the court, you got to understand. Off the court, I went to a school. Had no females.
Wait, what?
Notre Dame was all men when I went there.
No.
Did you know that? No way.
Oh, there is a generation gap.
Yeah, right.
Are you serious?
I thought everybody knew that.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No. The year I graduated was the year they became co-ed.
Oh, you were sick.
How did you survive with that? We know you men can't survive without us.
I went to Chicago.
Oh.
I went to Chicago quite a bit because they had a girls' school, St. Mary's, across. You had to go across
SMU
the road.
SMU in Chicago.
And so I went to Chicago because they were some ugly. Well, they were bad over there.
So, okay, so you go to an all boys school.
They were very well mannered women.
You
come from the DuPonts and the, you know, the aristocratic families.
Yes, very frou-frou.
You know, and they wore Oxford shoes and, you know, those kind of things. But we always put it this way. It was so bad.
Yeah.
We'd have panty raids over there and throw the panties back at
them. You're like,
now,
you keep these.
You can have these, so we go to Chicago.
All right, let's talk basketball then.
Okay, so you went to an all-boys school, which means, did you have a curfew?
Yes, my freshman year, we had a 12 o'clock curfew. And I tell you what we used to do. There was a bar about a mile and a half from campus.
Wait, what was the drinking age?
Oh, shit.
It 21.
14?
21.
Oh. 14.
So we would go.
In their minds.
We'd go down to the bar, and we would all drink, and we'd put $5 in the pot, about 15 of us. And the first one that got back to campus would get the money.
What?
But
$5?
That time,
that was like.
That was a lot of money.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But when you look
like
at
a
it.
Whole night's drinking.
After drinking for 2 or 3, 4 hours and eating pizza like it's crazy. Everybody was stumbling and, oh man, it was crazy. One guy got so messed hammered, he jumped through the dorm window to get to win the money. Drive right through the window.
Which was like a pot of what, 30 bucks?
30 bucks.
Put his life on the line, right?
Listen, you could buy a car for that 30 bucks.
Back then.
Channing, could you imagine, because you told this story before, I'll never forget it. My first year, we were in OKC having dinner, and didn't you sell programs?
Yeah, I sold programs before the football game.
What?
Could you imagine at Arizona, Channing, you had a report, program duty.
Where did the money go?
Jim, there you're talking there. We can't discuss that.
Listen, they didn't even have all the presidents on the dollars when you were
Well, what am I laughing? That's my time.
Right.
I get six boxes of programs I sold them before the football games.
Dude, that's first of all, if you are actually doing the work, let you keep the money. You're selling programs.
Well, apparently he
helping the school.
Helps the school.
Programs. And so do you still keep up with Notre Dame?
Oh yeah.
Still,
okay. I keep up with them. Yeah.
But how does it
In
feel
fact,
going
didn't
to
they name a hall after you?
Yeah, the part of the athletic department. I mean the athletic arena.
Yeah.
They have a whole concourse. It's Austin Carr Concourse there.
How does that feel?
Oh, it feels great.
AC still holds the record, right?
And as tight as you are.
I never thought. Jim, come on.
I know you're charging. I know you're charging people. I know they're charging people.
Now. Just to break it down to another level.
Right.
I mean, to be an Afro-American, to have that done for you at the University of Notre Dame was huge when it was done.
Is it huge now?
It's huge now. Yeah, I mean, it's to the point now where the young players that go there, they go, they almost like, are you still, you supposed to be dead. You're not supposed to live.
It was a great thing.
Yeah. it's an honor. It's definitely an honor. And I really feel good about it because,
you did the work.
I did the work.
You did the work. You got it done. Right. And they rewarded you for what you did.
Exactly.
How about this line, guys? 21 of 44. That's a 57%.
Oh, there you go. Ooh. There you go.
You took 14 shots?
It was 25.
He was the only one they could shoot.
Oh. 11 for 14 from the free throw line. 6 rebounds. 3 assists.
Oh, you were passing.
1 turnover.
Nothing.
Against UCLA?
61
against
points.
UCLA,
against
right?
Ohio. Uh-huh. 61 okay. points. Still
the
record.
How many did you get against UCLA?
NCAA without the 3-point line.
Was 46.
Right.
Without the 3-point.
I used to ask these kids, because our kids played together and stuff. They grew up same neighborhood. And I used to, and his son would sit down sometime. I said, and Austin would be over there. I said, you don't even know your dad. What do you mean I don't know my – you don't even know. Do you know that your dad was the greatest scoring basketball player in the country in college? No. I said, he doesn't brag or talk about
– No.
No. I said, oh, go to the library.
A couple years ago?
Because there's no – I said, go to the library.
Yeah.
And see how great a player your dad was.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, because you won't talk about it, but we were in New York City, remember this, for March Madness, and Notre Dame was playing, and so we were out at a bar, and we were all watching it, and we were on our way back, and we're standing at a street corner in New York, and this kid comes out of nowhere, a young kid, and he was hooting and hollering and whatever, and one of the guys that was with us asked the kid, do you know who holds the record for most points scored in an NCAA tournament game, right? Who still holds it? And the kid was like, Steph Curry? We were like, no, this guy.
By the way, he averaged 50 points in 7 tournament games.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll ever be broken.
50?
50 point
he scored.
Per game average in his tournament career.
He used to move without the ball better than anybody I've ever seen to this day.
50 is 50 to get one in college. Right. Even now, I'm playing
That's
in
right.
2001 to
different,
5.
Different game. We're walking it up the floor back then. Man.
Yes.
Right.
No real running but the 63 Loyola Ramblers. Everybody else was
walking it up, man. Pounding and pounding.
Yeah.
See, that's why I 50. Like the way we're playing now because I'm all about everybody's supposed to know every position on the floor.
Right.
A guard supposed to know center supposed to know guard, because when you come down to transition, you don't know what position you're going to be in. But you're still supposed to be able to keep the flow going.
It's an orchestra.
It's an orchestra. Man, we're talking, baby.
I know.
But see, that's the only problem. But that's the only problem I had with motion when you guys start doing
it.
Because you get a big guy out there with the ball after 3 passes.
But here's the thing, though. This all changed because. Yeah. Now the guy with the ball is the most dangerous guy on the court, right? If somebody backs up, you're giving space, right? And in basketball, what are we supposed to do? You take up space. Now, big guys, listen, I'm not the best dribbler in the world, but I'll tell you this.
You got two. You got two dribbles. All you need is two.
I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to either dribble handoff, I'm going to flick it and get it back and roll, or I'm going to just drive it and throw it up and try to fillet that mother. You know what I'm saying?
We're going to adopt a new line, like something like a Mack truck sharp left. Because
what did you only – you were a left shoulder girl?
What do you mean left shoulder girl?
You look like you were a screen hard roll, duck in.
Yes, she was.
Left shoulder.
I've seen. Yes. That's what she was.
I would dip my shoulder. I would get called for offensive charges all the time. But it would be like, I can't help it. You're so little. Like, get out of my way.
You have to bend your knees. That's what they tell me. They're like, Channing, bend your knees. I'm like, nah, we don't.
No.
Like, it ain't worked this long. I'm like, what time is it?
Because I want to take a sharp left and get back to off-court stuff that's fun. You guys all act like you play basketball. Back to Marquette. Do you have any fun stories at Marquette?
First of all, it has to be freezing.
Okay, how much time do we have? Because
all the time in the world.
Al McGuire.
Oh, ooh. Boy, Al was something else.
We're practicing in the old gym.
Yeah.
Back in those days, this gym was built probably in about 1920. So
like five years before you got there.
Yes. close. But you got the winding staircase.
Right.
It takes you up to the old gym and the old track around the top. So we practiced there, right?
Oh.
There was a crazy guy.
Oh, Gary Brill.
Not Brill. But this, you're close. But this guy wasn't all there.
Right.
And at rush hour, around 3:30 in the evening, he would come walking through the Marquette campus, which is a downtown campus. Kids are going to and from classes, turning out for the day. And he'd be bumping into people, about 6'2", 220.
Ooh.
And he was and so somebody – somebody told him to go over to the gym. So he goes over to the gym. We're getting ready to practice.
What?
And he's in the middle of the floor. Al hasn't come up yet.
Oh, boy. Oh.
And we're like, man, I ain't going out there. This guy, man, he ain't all there.
Right.
Listen, throwing them monos.
Al comes up. They're at mid-court, Rafa. He comes up. He walks up to the guy, looks him right in the eye and said, what you doing, fella? I used to box and just missing Al's head. Al ain't flinched yet.
No.
Because Al's
right. Yeah.
He focused. So, he focused.
All of a sudden, the guy backs up, and Al says, look it, tell you what, is running part of your training? Yeah. Why don't you run on the top? Because we got to practice right now. And the guy does it. I don't know what Al has.
Wow.
And the guy does it. Crazy out of his mind.
Right.
Just crazy. Uh-huh. Let me tell you another quick story.
Yo, please. We like these stories.
Yeah. We're playing at Loyola. The first night, UCLA plays Loyola on a Friday.
Oh, boy.
LaRue Martin gets 40-some points.
You have to preface how big these schools are at the time.
Oh. Right.
Please preface.
UCLA is like the Warriors in the NBA.
Who's on UCLA's team right now?
Bill Walton was on the team at that time.
Shout out, Bill. He was on road tripping.
Big Bill. TP Bill, right? Who else?
Let me tell you. Who else did they have?
Did it even matter?
They had Jamal Wilkes and some other guys, too.
Right. Oh, those guys.
So you know where I'm going with this.
Right, scrubs.
Loyola, traditional Midwest school. 63 was their last championship, right? When they had the Rolling Ramblers and everybody's under 6'3", and they're playing like this, right? So they win it, right? All of a sudden, they play LaRue Martin, 7 foot, skinny, thin.
Yeah.
He outplays Bill Walton, the number one center in the country, on a Friday.
That put him on the map, didn't it?
Yes.
That put him on the map.
The next night. That's right. Back then, they had back-to-backs. Right.
Oh, no.
Because in college?
Yes, because we had to play around hockey.
Right.
The Blackhawks played, so we couldn't mess with Sunday.
No. You couldn't mess
with
Sunday.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Listen, I don't know anything about Chicago.
Go ahead.
But the Blackhawks, even back then, were
Yes. The Golden Jet, Bobby Hall.
Bobby Hall.
The blonde bomber with blonde hair.
Oh, yeah.
No guard, just cuts gashes like Frankenstein. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And let me tell you, so the next night they play
Hockey
us.
Hockey fans are going to get a
They play us, that. Marquette. Who's the number two center in the country? Jim Jones.
That's right.
He laced our ass. He had 30-something points that night. I think I had 25. We win the game. But he outplayed me. I got to give him credit.
So he
became the number one draft pick of the Portland Trail Blazers.
That's exactly right.
To this day, they say he's the greatest flop, which isn't fair.
Thank you, Jim and Bill.
Which isn't fair.
Yeah.
Because it's a roll of the dice anyway.
That's right.
Who knows that more than the guy's making 40, 60 million, 60, 64 million for a guy with no hands? He goes to L.A. and now he's in the Nets. But anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what he's talking about?
But you see where I'm going with this.
So
it's not an exact science anyway. But who wouldn't take a bit? He outplays Bill Walton on the first night, number one center in the country. Jim Jones, the number two center.
Right.
Back to back, Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah, put him
on
the
map. What did he do good?
Portland.
Though?
I remember that.
Was he like a
jumping out of the gym, hitting his head on the rim, blocking shots?
So he had a lot of energy.
Yes, man.
I remember that, Jim.
Hot coffee.
I remember that.
Hot coffee will do wonders.
Because no graphics.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Go ahead.
Everybody wants to know.
How many Latino players have you played against?
No, your side of the story, and I'm sure you told this many times.
What's that?
When you broke your leg in practice.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you what happened.
I actually, do that because I put that on our, when we were talking before, I did because it is a story that everyone will remember.
Let Jim tell you his version.
Y'all were playing.
I'm
going to
tell you from the teammate version.
Yeah, please do.
We're in practice. We set up the time. Though,
I had shorty shorts.
You had a chance to win the championship.
Wears now.
I had shorty shorts.
Right.
And my kids look at me in those old pictures. They said, "Dad, you're built like a woman."
This was.
And then when I quit after 20 years and I walk around the house with my shirt off, he said, "Dad, you look like a woman." but getting back to it, everybody had a slight build. Nobody was cut up.
No,
muscular.
No.
Y'all weren't big into weight room stuff.
We didn't train that way. We didn't train that way.
No,
it was all about running.
Nobody was like that.
But it was nothing about lifting and all that crap. No.
Campy Russell goes up for a shot in practice.
This is in 1976?
You had just won a series, no?
76.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we just won a series against Washington.
Right.
Goes up to block a shot. I go up to block the shot. He hangs in the air and doing all of this.
Loop-de-loopies.
Yeah, so, you know, gravity is a consistent thing. Sucker. I mean, he's got to come down. I got to come down, too.
Right.
So I'm trying to hang. I hit the side of someone's foot like I stepped on your toes early to start this thing. Are you all right, man?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, but you got nice looking toes.
Though. I do got nice toes. I'm a shooter. You got to keep the dogs.
I know some guys' toes that that big one will turn that way.
And that's good for a basketball player. Because I tell you, the big fella, Nate Thurman, he had the ugliest toes ever seen in my life.
And So did Shaq.
You know what he said? When he would, Shaq's an ugly boy. He's really bad. He said, when he goes to the beach, the first thing he does is sticks his toes in the sand.
Yeah. Okay, so you can.
I come down.
Yep.
Who was the newsman from the, remember?
Yeah.
Herb Edwards? No. You're close. He had been an editorialist.
Herb Godfrey.
No, but he had been there a long time. But let me tell you that. He's at the door watching the practice.
Right.
I come up.
Ooh.
We're saying, what the heck? I take a step and say, oh, my goodness.
Yep.
And I feel that heat going up my foot.
Yeah. It's the worst.
Fifth metatarsal.
Yep.
Ooh, snapped it.
Mm.
Now,
if I had a 9-to-5, they call it the working man break.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You can work and do, but you can't jump and play basketball.
That's what got Yao's career.
That bone is thinner than your baby finger.
Yeah, Durant had that, right?
Kevin Durant had that.
He had the fifth metatarsal, too.
It almost ended my career because I had to get a bone put out of my hip.
Yeah. Oh, you had to put a bone down. Is that why you walk funny?
They didn't have pins then.
No.
So they took a bone out of my hip and put it in my fifth metatarsal so I could continue to play.
Because that bone is thinner than your baby finger.
Right.
That's crazy.
And it's carrying all that body weight.
Now, practice was – now, when we all found out about it, because at that time – we were on such a high roll as a team.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't care if we were down by 20 at halftime. We were going to beat you by 20. Yeah. That's just how we felt.
Yeah, we were good.
We were that good.
Yeah, yeah.
And when that happened, it was like, man, it was a calm. The whole place, all the team, the locker room, was like we had lost our last dollar we ever owned. You lost your
invincibility.
We lost all of it.
Somebody grabbed that Achilles.
Yeah, but let me tell you the strategy, and then let Austin finish.
Right.
The strategy was for me to go and play hard and fast.
Right.
But when we wanted to win the game and close it, we put old Nate Thurman
put
in
the
there.
Big fella
he
in.
Could still defend. He could cover guard off that high dribble screen.
Oh, boy.
He could check you.
Yeah.
He had these long arms. He had these 22-inch biceps. He had all of this.
And he had chicken legs.
Just like, is that what they're called? I've never had those.
These are called traps.
Listen, look. He and Wilt Chamberlain were built the same way.
Really?
Yeah.
Real
broad on top.
What was he like?
Oh, Wilt? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you Wilt's story.
That's the strongest man I've ever seen in my life. I've seen him.
Arnold Schwarzenegger tells this story.
Yeah.
They're in Gold's Gym working out.
Right, right. So what they doing, curls?
No. Yeah, but like 300 pounds, right?
Right.
They're bench pressing. I heard it was 500 pounds. It was, maybe it was 450, something like that.
Right,
and Will's watching.
Yeah.
And he's watching them work out. He says, how much is that? And Arnold tells him how much it is. Arnold tells his story. Wilt, with all the street clothes on, no warm-up, gets under there, picks the weight up on the bench.
It starts pinking it.
And they're talking. He's talking. You know, you know, man, I'm telling you sure this is what it
Right. So I call that pinking, because if you really are hitting it, like it ain't nothing, it makes it a little pink. Pink.
Yeah. It does, because you're almost throwing it.
Yes.
Hey, we had a guy named Butch Beard. Butch was about 6'4", around 220
pounds. I'm not going to assume things, but right. Butch looks Louisville. He sounds like he's a hack.
A Butch.
He sounds like he's a hack.
No, yeah, he is.
There we go. That's Butch, what I'm saying, Butch.
So,
have you seen Blue Chips? Sorry.
They throw the ball.
Butch McRae.
They throw the ball
in that movie, dog.
We throw the ball in the Wilt. They throw the ball in the Wilt, so Butch backs down on him to double-team him. And Wilt and him grabbed the ball at the same time.
No, he snatched that boy's arm square
off. And he just
off.
Picked him up off the floor like this.
No.
He had to let the ball go because Wilt went on and made a layup.
John McLaughlin.
I was sitting there. This was my rookie year.
Yeah.
My mouth dropped open. I was like, God damn, I ain't going to do that.
John McLaughlin. Yeah. John McLaughlin told me the same story. They would come baseline when he'd get that long drop step squat. Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of the name we called it. But anyway.
No, it's a drop step.
Crab.
Oh, remember crab. Crab. Yeah,
we
yeah,
put
crab
the ball
dribble.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what's
– Listen, power Shaq, Shaq's
did a
crab.
Oh,
yeah.
It was a lobster.
Listen. I caught Shaq in 05, my rookie year, where I had to guard him. So I had to guard him for like a half. Our other guys got in foul trouble.
Shame on you.
Listen, look at me. So I'm 22.
Yeah.
So I'm not 7 foot yet, so I'm 6'11", maybe 230.
Ooh.
So Shaq is chilling. He's in Miami. D-Way's doing his thing. Posey's doing his thing. And so Walker's doing their thing. Good. Right? Fourth quarter comes. We just happen to be up by three. He looks me dead in the eyes like, Lil Fry, I'm sorry. I'm about to kill you this quarter. I said.
Monotone as hell.
Oh, there's no, like, so I have never heard this in my basketball life.
Right,
so I said, you might kill his shit, right? And I'm mumbling this.
Right.
Now, mind you, I don't know if he heard it.
Right.
He drops at me, boomed on my head so nasty, and sent me into the rafters. I was like, oh. The only noise I can make. I said, there's literally nothing. And then for the next 2 minutes, they threw it to him, cleared out, and it was one dribble, two dribble, elbow to the chest. He broke my sternum. I had a broke sternum.
Wow.
It was broke.
Whoa.
Just kidding. No.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. But he got that elbow, boop. And then literally he took the soul out of me for one game and just destroyed me. And I said, I could not even imagine this man at, let's say, at regular 30, even 25, 22.
He was a
I'm sitting in the stands.
He was a monster when he was in his mid-20s.
Me and Nate Thurman.
Yeah.
We're watching Shaq. Halftime, I'm looking at Nate. Nate, you know, old school guys, they're like this. They're trying to figure out how could I defend this guy.
Yeah, no.
And so I said, Nate, could you stop him? He said, no, he's too big. I said, what do you mean too big? I can't keep him off that block.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've never. Okay, there's maybe one or two players in my career that if I, like, go like this and put all my weight on you, you are not going to back me up. He was backing me up like a little kid trying to keep his dad from the door. And I say, you know what? Please, Lord, let you just be tired.
Yeah, is that when you learned barbecue chicken?
Yeah, he was a monster. Shaq.
Yes.
But you know what happens with Shaq? He is such an entertainer today.
Yeah.
And he's so funny. People don't know how great he was.
That's right. They don't.
They should be rivaling his name with Will.
Yes.
Of these great guys.
Yes. Okay.
Because there's no one.
How about this?
You just gave me an idea.
Let's start this argument. Okay. It's going to be an argument on our, whatever our road tripping is. Give me your top five all-time greats.
Ooh.
Go ahead, AC.
Bakes?
In your opinion.
Oh,
no,
man.
No.
Player. Just period.
players.
Go ahead, AC.
This is by just respect.
Wait, hold
this
on
is by
one
respect
second.
In no particular order. Respect.
Yeah.
Like, right. These five
well,
players.
Well, I'm going to have mine.
This is,
be,
what
oh,
this is what we're going to end on. So make it good.
All
make
right,
it count.
All right. Well, from the new – from the, these guys – no, from the old guy.
All time. No, no, no. All
Elgin
time.
Baylor, okay. All Oscar time. Robertson are two.
Okay.
Jerry West is one.
Okay.
Damn, I got to put Shaq in there, too.
You got to put Shaq. So that's yeah. your five.
And Kareem.
We'll say six.
Okay.
We'll say six.
Okay.
Michael's not six. Even a top five?
Give us six.
And
give
Michael.
Six.
Well, that's six
give
right
six.
There.
That's give us six.
You said how many?
You know I'm a math disability girl.
So you said
six.
What?
That was six.
You
six,
know
okay.
we can't count unless it's two or three.
Right. It's got to be two or three.
All three.
Yeah.
I counted three. All three. Three, six, nine, 12.
Mine are Kareem.
Right.
Shaq.
Yep.
Wilt. Russell. Can we name anybody that's playing now?
Yes.
LeBron.
LeBron. Okay.
Nobody yes. does more yeah, did, with right. the ball
hang
than
on.
LeBron.
Was that five or six?
That's five.
Yeah. That's right. You get another one. You get six.
You get another one.
Michael Jordan.
Michael
okay,
Jordan.
Six.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I'm going to give you mine.
You're okay. going to give yours as a current player right now. You're
as a
gonna
current
give
player right now.
Okay.
I respect the game. Listen.
Okay. Richard,
I'm a role player.
You are going to have to give your top six.
Yes. Okay. Number one, I'm going to say Michael Jordan. For me.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say Kareem.
Okay.
I'm going to respect Wilt.
Right.
Kobe.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Right?
Right.
LeBron.
Okay.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Ooh.
Don't be in there.
I forgot about him.
You forgot. People forget, but yeah. I was in whoa. Phoenix when he was barbecuing.
I'm sorry, but no Bill Russell on that list?
People, huh?
No Bill Russell?
Bill Russell's man. too. Is
yeah, that's
different.
That's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. I'm taking
sorry,
Hakeem Olajuwon. You could throw Hakeem the ball every single time. 48 minutes. Throwing the ball.
And he's
throwing the ball.
Every
throwing
time.
The ball. Throwing the ball.
And,
throwing
and
the
that
ball.
Little spin move. Boy, he have you spin. He do that little move where he spin.
And here's my thing.
Boom.
Everybody wanted to play with Hakeem.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my thing. Right. Everybody wanted to play with Hakeem. And it's like I respect Kobe because he put me out of the playoffs, and I've never seen a player after getting triple teamed still get 16 and a quarter.
Wow.
We triple teamed him the whole quarter.
Yeah.
He still had 16 points.
Yeah.
And slapped our coach on the butt like, you ain't going to do nothing.
Is this all you got?
Is this all you got?
Right. And, oh, it's not like they're scrubs. This is Jason Richardson, Grant Hill, and I'm running at him.
Right.
And he's like, 1-2, get out of my face.
Yeah.
Buckets.
Yeah.
But this has been awesome.
Yeah.
This has been awesome.
I
want to
save
so
some
fun.
Stuff. We're going to save some stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Anytime you guys want to come back on.
Anytime.
Anytime.
You hold on now. But listen, you're part of the homage family.
All right.
Well, homage. Did you put a little twist on that?
Homage.
Homage.
Homage. A little homage.
Good segue, though, Channing. Right. Yeah, of course, our partners, good friends at Homage. If you notice our rebrand, it takes on, it's inspired by the Magic versus Bird. So the iconic image of Magic versus Bird is kind of Channing versus Richard.
Right.
With our rebrand.
Okay. Oh, now I see. Okay.
So,
okay.
I haven't seen that free shirt yet. It's okay. I will see it soon.
See it soon.
So, yeah, we want to give a major shout out to them because of their imagination, their creativity, and so forth coming together with our vision and what we had. So we want to give a shout out to them. But also... AC.
It's a great company because I've been with them now 5 years.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all got to get
homage,
AC
do me
shirt.
A favor. Sell some more T-shirts for me. Okay?
Yeah.
AC does have a few T-shirts.
What's on the T-shirt,
homage.
AC?
Which ones are yours?
They got Get That Weak Stuff Out of Here and
how
Deep
about
in
this?
The Queue.
We'll make a deal for the next month, the whole month of November. If you have a Get That Weak Stuff Out of Here shirt, I will stop what I'm doing and almost anywhere. And sign your shirt. Oh. And what's the other ones?
All right.
Deep in the Queue.
Deep in the Queue.
Channing Frye. Deep in the Queue.
Channing Frye.
Yeah, that's right. Because, hey, I holler at a lot. But
sounds like an idea. Nice little collaboration.
I will stop what I'm doing. Usually I'm, doing things. I'm out and about. But look, if you got either one of those T-shirts from, I'm going to say homage.
Homage.
It's the French spelling.
Because for a while there, I kept saying, he's putting them in the fryer.
Ooh.
Bow.
Yo, listen.
Oh, nice play on words.
I like that, AC.
I like that.
That's good. That's
this
good.
Year is going to be more like, he's filleting that fish. Look. You're going to see some more left-hand fillets now. Look.
I noticed when you made that left-hand shot, you kind of like,
Y'all were shocked. But listen, every day, like, I shoot, you know, let's say I shoot 400 shots.
Okay.
I shoot 100 threes, 300 everything else. Because this is where the game is going, like I told you. But anyways, back to your T-shirts. I'm going to sign any T-shirt. So if you come to the game, yell road tripping, yell at me.
I'm an extra large, by the way. I don't have that shirt yet.
Neither do
we. Don't have it yet?
No.
We got to get those shirts.
AC, can we get some of those shirts? We don't have to pay for them,
free.
Do we, AC?
Because I'm $3.99.
Don't stutter. I mean,
I'll hook it up. I'll talk with Elliot.
Ooh, Elliot, throwing the name drop.
Cheap. You better get us some T-shirts.
We hope you guys all listened to the first episode of our relaunch. We're so excited to be back in action, back in the saddle. As we mentioned before, the Atlanta Hawks dropping. We hope you're excited. And if you are a new listener just joining in, we want you to subscribe. iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio. Wherever you can catch us,
uninterrupted.com
has us as well. Go check us out as well on Instagram and Twitter. Our handles have remained the same.
Yeah. Road Tripping Podcast. Tell them my podcast is better.
that is kind of the final note.
Is that the premise of the thing?
That is the premise. It's Team Richard or Team Channing.
We'll go by listens. All right. Total listens.
Right.
And then loser basically has to buy
the other podcast wine.
A lot of wine.
A lot of wine.
And Richard, we have already set the table. We have already given you our top six between the three of you guys, players of all time. So step up to the plate. For this edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing.